All right, that's all the announcements I have. So we'll go ahead and get started with the sermon. Our daughter Hannah is not with us today. She actually went back home. We actually had our son and daughter-in-law in this last weekend. Got to spend some time with them, and that was very nice. They left on Monday, and Hannah went with them. So she wanted to go spend some time with them, and so she's over there with her brother and sister-in-law, and now her sister, Haley, is there as well. She flew out Thursday evening, and so all the kids are all in one place without mom and dad. So one day we'll all get right together, but well, we'll pick Hannah up tomorrow. We're going down to Nashville, and we'll pick her up. She flies into Nashville sometime tomorrow early afternoon, and we'll pick her up and head home. So anyhow, so if you're wanting to know where she was at, that's where she's at. Well, today I'd actually like to begin the sermon by, if you will, introducing you to something. And the thing is, what I'm going to introduce you to, there's no doubt you've already been introduced to it, but maybe not have thought about it. But as I believe what I'm going to introduce to you as well has affected, if you will, all of you in some way or another. You've either been affected by it, or you may have affected others with it. So for introductions, I actually found a poem. Actually, I didn't find the poem. My wife found the poem, and I'm using the poem. It is actually, the author's unknown, but it does do a very, very good job for introductions. It's titled, Nobody's Friend. It says, I am nobody's friend. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I make headlines and headaches. My name is Gossip. Anybody ever heard that before? I hadn't heard that one before. But I thought it did a fine job introducing Gossip. This poem was quite introducing, or quite good, I thought. And the author, even though he was unknown, I felt fully understood the damage that Gossip will bring about. Well, if you haven't noticed as of late, Gossip is alive and well in this world. I believe it is, for sure. And it's even been found within the confines of God's church. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But it is. But you know what? God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And why? Well, the poem that we just went over, that gives you all indications why God would not like it, but gossip causes distrust, it causes conflict, it causes hurt, it destroys relationships, such as friendships, such as marriages, like what was mentioned within that little poem. Gossip actually triggers suspicions, and it brings about division. Gossip is sin, plain and simple. It is sin, and gossip will keep those who don't repent of doing it, well, pretty plain and simple, out of the kingdom of God. Gossip has no place in the church, nor in the day-to-day life of a Christian. So today, if you haven't figured it out already, we're going to discuss the topic of gossip. If you want a title, the title is Speaking of Gossip. Speaking of Gossip. But I feel like to understand what gossip is all about, we need to look at the forms, if you will, of gossip that maybe we haven't, you know, thought about, that we haven't thought about before. Dictionary.com defines gossip as this. It says, idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others. Light, familiar talk or writing. A person given to tattling or idle talk. So then I also pulled it from the Oxford English Dictionary. It says, casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed to be true. And I thought both of those together did a fine job defining gossip. And gossip has everything to do, if you will, with what? Our words. Has everything to do with our words. Because how else is gossip, well, unless it's written in a note, it can be written in a note or a letter or something of that nature, or on the internet and social media. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can do it, but more times than not, it's always words, either written or spoken. And words spoken or written are very, very powerful. What we say and how we say them, the words that we say and how we say them, or who we say them about, or why we say them, have great meaning. A few months ago, I actually recorded a teen podcast. We do teen podcasts. The teens that are in here, okay, good. I'm not asking that you heard mine. I'm just saying, making sure that you know that there's teen podcasts out there. But a few months ago, I recorded a teen podcast, and it was over our words and how powerful they can be. You know, I brought out the old phrase, and maybe some of you remember it. You might even used it. I know I did when I was younger. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Anybody ever remember that phrase? Oh, yeah. I said that to my sisters more times than not. But I would submit to you that that phrase is an absolute lie. It is. It is an absolute lie, because words may not break literal bones, not at all, but they can hurt and they can cut deep and they leave wounds. And sometimes those wounds never heal. You know, words are powerful. They will build up or they will destroy. That's what words do. They can build up or destroy. You remember, if you stop and you think about it, and then we're going to kind of shift gears just a little bit, when God said, he spoke, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. When God spoke with the creation, he spoke and it existed. That's power. That's from God's word. I don't think you can get more powerful than that. Not at all. But God, it's one thing you have to stop and consider. God always chooses and uses his words perfectly and only for righteousness. All of God's words, he chooses them and uses his words perfectly and only for righteousness. His words are only for good. They are, always. And you know what? That is how he then wants us to use our words. That's how he wants us to use all of our words, whether it be in the spoken form, written form, whatever it may be. So the words that we use every day of our lives will make an impact. They will, whether we know it or not. They will make an impact. Our words, depending on what we are saying, how we say them, who we say them either to or about or whatever, and why we say them, will determine if our words will actually be helpful, whether they'll build up or they will be harmful. They will tear down and destroy. As I said, words are powerful, and that is amazing what your words can do to somebody, to somebody's life. Have you ever noticed how quickly words can transform, if you will, the mood in a gathering, whether it be a family gathering, a large gathering, or a work meeting, whatever it may be, or a meeting of any kind, how quickly words can alter, how they can alter attitudes. It can calm situations, or it can actually provoke situations, and things can become very awkward after some words are said. They can. Words, like I said, are powerful for sure. But in all of that, just speaking about words, because we have to understand what is the cause, if you will, of where gossip comes from. It's all from our words. But what transforms our words into gossip? Because you can speak words all day long, but words used in a certain way will transform what we say into gossip. And that's what we have to be careful about. So what transforms our words into gossip? So let's start in Luke 6. Luke 6. And we'll start in verse 43. Luke 6:43, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree," and this is Jesus speaking, "for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Well, it all comes down to the matter of the heart. That's what it comes down to. Why we say what we say. That's a matter of the heart. Why we say what we say. If our words are said truthfully and fully out of concern, and our concern will end up producing, as was said here, good fruit, if it will produce fruit with no mixed or underlying intentions at all, then our words are meant for good. They're meant for good. They are for righteousness, if you will. They are for comfort. They are for encouragement. They are for help. And they are right. And that would not be considered gossip at all. But if the words we speak are not, and I'll say this, fully true, there's no such thing as fully true. It's either true or false. A lie is a lie, always. Our words and our words are not meant for good, nor for comfort, nor encouragement. And if we have just one, underlying intention, just one underlying intention, then those words will produce nothing good. They're not meant to produce anything good and are considered idle. Those words are actually considered worthless and therefore transform into gossip. And they are wicked, plain and simple. They transform into gossip and are wicked. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. We're going to hit a few passages today to kind of back up everything that we're speaking about. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, the Bible speaks, God speaks a lot about this subject. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." Words with no profit are to the ruin of the hearers. Isn't that interesting? "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings." In other words, shun those empty discussions and useless matters. Shun those, for they will increase, it says, to more ungodliness. "And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of the sort who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that they were going about saying that the resurrection has already passed. And it says, because of that, they overthrow the faith of some." That's what happens whenever you say things that are not true or you have underlying intentions. You spread about rumors, and you have discussions that produce nothing, discussions that are good for nothing, discussions that actually cause harm. It says, well, the effects of it are like cancer. The effects of it are like cancer, and will even overthrow the faith of some, and it can cause some to stumble. Why? Why is that? Well, as stated in the definition that we read, gossip is defined as words that are idle or rumor, words that tell the personal and private matters about someone else, either what they have done or what you've heard that they've done or something about them, even if you don't even know it's true. If this is the type of conversation that takes place, or if this type of conversation takes place, I guess you could say thoughts and the way that another person looks at an individual being discussed or something else that's being discussed, it begins to be altered, doesn't it? What happens? Doubt starts to feed in. Doubt starts to feed in. And this is dangerous. It is dangerous, and it's not something a Christian should ever consider being a part of. So, what would be considered gossip? Well, we were already kind of touching on it here, worthless, idle chatter, things like that, but we're going to dig into this a little more because I'd like to bring out the words, if you will, that are synonymous to gossip. The words that are synonymous to gossip. As we know, a synonym is what? It's a word that means exactly, either it's a word that means exactly or nearly the same as another word. So the words that are synonymous with gossip are this, and you've probably heard these before in Scripture: slander, backbiting, whisper, murmur, and talebearing. That's synonymous with gossip. So what exactly does the Bible say about these words? What does it say about these words? So that's what we're going to look at, if you will, for the remainder of the message today. And I'd like to begin in Proverbs. We're not going to go right down the line like use slander, backbiting, whisper, murmuring, talebearing, anything like that. But we are going to look at what the Bible says about all of those words. And then come in, kind of wrap it up at the end with a couple things to think about. So let's go back to Proverbs, and we'll start there in Proverbs 10. The Proverbs actually has much to say about this. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander, says, is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Right here at the beginning, it talks about how hatred of another that is hidden, if you will, from the person that is hated, always comes out in words to someone else sooner or later. Have you ever noticed that? Whenever somebody has a grievance against somebody, it always comes out in words to somebody sooner or later. The word slander here in the Hebrew in verse 18 is dabah, D-I-B-B-A-H, and it means defaming. It means an evil report, and it means, well, as is right here, slander. So slander is talking about someone in a way, that's what slander is, it is talking about someone in a way that damages who they are, it damages their reputation. Damages their reputation. When we speak about, if you will, someone from a disgust, we speak about someone from a disgust or from rumors or a combination of both. And what are rumors? They're lies. Rumors are lies. The thing is, if it's a rumor, you may not even know it's a lie, that you're spreading a lie. If it's a rumor, it can be a lie. But if we're talking in this way, it causes severe damage to one's character, to one's known character. That's what it causes. And this Hebrew word dabah is actually from the root word, and this is interesting, davan, D-A-B-A-B is how it's spelled. But it means to move gently, to glide slowly, to creep along. I felt like that was very interesting. Because how is Satan described? As a serpent. And what does a serpent do? He glides, he goes in slowly, creeps along slowly, glides in slowly. You know, Satan uses slander to do that, just that, to move gently, to slowly and to creep into the lives of people, especially God's people. He strives to do that. And this happens by and through any of us, if you will, becoming disgusted with one another and then doubting and looking at that person in a different way. That's exactly, if you want to stop and you think about it, that's exactly what Satan did with Adam and Eve. It's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. Satan, if you will, gently glided slowly and creepily into Adam and Eve's thinking. About who? God. Satan actually slandered God, the Creator. He slandered him. In Genesis 3:1, Satan said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Do you think Satan was just asking Eve? So is that what God said? No. He wasn't asking Eve a question. He was rather getting her to question what God had told her or told Adam. Or rather, I guess you could say, what he commanded them. You know, if you will, this was slick. It really was. It was slick. This was Satan gliding in slowly to change a perspective on what God had already established, what God had already told them. Actually, to change their perspective on who God was as a being. That's what he was looking at doing. He wanted them to change their perspective on who God was, to question his very character. Because in verse 4, Satan went on to say, "You will not surely die." Totally opposite of what God had told them, isn't it? Satan went on then to tell them, God only told you that because he didn't want you to become like him. He didn't want you to become like him and know good and evil. Satan actually slandered God's very character. And what did it do? They begin to formulate in their own mind who God really was. And we see what happened from that. It divided them from God. You know, this is what Satan, that's what Satan wants people to do. That's what he wants to get all people to do. He wants to eliminate the human race if he can. That's his goal. His main goal right now is to, if you will, eliminate God's plan, period. But we know that isn't going to happen. But Satan, that's what he wants people to do to each other. And God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it at all, especially in his church, among his people. He doesn't like it. Slandering anyone is wrong, and it doesn't matter if it is true. We're not to slander anyone. We are not to slander someone else, no matter how terrible they may seem, or maybe they are. We're not to slander anyone. And how do we know that? Well, let's go back to Jude. I'd like to go back to Jude. Like I said, we're gonna hit some scriptures to help prove what it is we're talking about. Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, so we'll start in verse 8 of Jude. It says, likewise, also these dreamers, he says, defile the flesh. And he says, reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. And he goes on to say, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. But all he said, the Lord rebuke you. Here you have Michael, as it says, he's the archangel. He's the angel, the commander of the Lord's army. One of high authority. Much higher authority than Satan, of course. But he does not even bring against Satan, he says, a reviling accusation. Not even he. Reviling means slandering. It means evil speaking. Any type of injurious speech or vilification. That's what that means. And the word accusation means judgment. So Michael didn't speak any type of criticizing or accusatory words about or to the devil. Not even about or to the devil. Who else would be more deserving, I guess you could say? Well, it's not our place. It's not even our place to do that. So if it's not our place to do that, and it's not even Michael's place to do that, where is it in our place to do that to each other? It's not. Slander is dangerous because of where it leads. It is dangerous because of where it leads. And there are those that do it purpose. They do it purposefully. I'll get that word out. I'm looking for purposely. They do it purposefully. Tongue just won't turn like it's supposed to, purposefully. You know, if you say that three times fast, I don't know if you could get it out. But anyway, there are those that actually do slander purposefully to, if you will, and you've probably heard this before, to character assassinate somebody. And then that's obvious. It's very obvious to see what they're doing. But there are actually times we may not even realize that what we are saying is actually slander against someone else. But we should recognize it because of where it came from. If it came from somebody else who was talking negatively about somebody else, wait a second. Well, we're going to talk about that here as we go along, but I don't want to get into that right now. But we can actually corrupt someone else's And whenever we then, if you will, speak what we've heard that we don't know is true, that's slander, is what that is. And if we do that, we are actually corrupting someone else's perspective. We begin to corrupt someone else's perspective on another person, even another brother or sister of the faith. It can be that dangerous. And we have to be very careful about that. We don't want to do that with anybody, especially those in the household of God. So anytime we speak something that causes doubt about another person, and that's something to remember, anything that we speak that would cause doubt about another person, that's slander. That is slander. And when we do that, we've judged them in what we believe that they are doing is either right or wrong. And, you know, that's one thing we have to be very careful in. And I'd like to go back to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And build on this a little more. Proverbs 16. We'll start in verse 27. It says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Right, we'll look at whisper here first. The whisper in the Hebrew is nirgan, N-I-R-G-A-N. And it means, guess what it means? Someone who is a slanderer. Someone who's a slanderer. Someone who's a talebearer. A murmurer. A whisperer or backbiter. That's what that word actually means. So a whisperer is considered someone who secretly slanders. Someone who secretly slanders. And it's also known as backbiting. Because, why? Well, it's done in secret. This is someone who's found out, if you will, the nitty-gritty or the gritty on someone, and they go behind the back of the one that, if you will, or I guess you could say, or they go behind the back of someone they have an issue with or a problem with, and they tell others about it. They've either found the nitty-gritty out on somebody, or they have a problem with somebody, and they've gone behind their back, in both ways. Instead of going to that person, if they found this out, say, go to the person and ask them, hey, everything okay? I found this out about you. Is it true? Instead of saying, hey, did you hear? That's what backbiting is, and that's what a whisperer is. And, you know, the thing is, when you go behind the back of someone that you either have a problem with or you tell others about certain things that you know that you found out, and the thing is, what it is, those are things that other people don't need to know. Almost like, and I thought of some things that I've heard in the past. I'm not saying from any of you, don't take that way. Not at all. I'm just saying I've heard in the past. Almost like this. You know, just between you and me, I can't believe what I saw the other day with such and such. They were doing blah, 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 blah. Or, can you believe how they are? Can you believe that? It just confirms that they don't care about me, you, or anybody else. Blah, 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 blah. Or, yeah, it's all because of so-and-so and how they do such-and-such that we're having these issues. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I know these are generic examples, but these types of things plant seeds. They plant seeds of doubt within someone else's mind when it wasn't there before. These murmurings and grumblings about the accused, and that's what they are, the accused, that have been whispered to others about will begin to actually the process of harming relationships that are being built, and also can cause an unsettled mind in those that are shared with. It's amazing what it does. It's very powerful. And Satan uses it to his advantage all the time. James 4. James 4. James 4, and we'll read just a couple passages here. Verse 11. James 4, verse 11. It says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. You're not a doer. You're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You become to where you're the lawgiver. That's what they're saying. You know, you're no longer a doer of the law. You are the judge of the law when you do that. It says there is one lawgiver. There's one judge who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And that word another is actually neighbor. Who are you to judge your neighbor? And they've actually translated it correctly because it's another person. That's what your neighbor is. Our neighbor is, who is our neighbor? Anybody. Anybody. Not just the household of faith. It's anybody. Who are you? The Greek word for the phrase, he who speaks evil here, is actually katatalaleo, and I said it right, katatalaleo. And it means to speak against, to slander, to criminate. In other words, to condemn someone. To condemn someone. This is it in our place. It is not our place. God is the only judge. When we judge, we put ourselves in God's place. We slander. When we judge, we slander, and we actually begin the destroying process. We begin the destroying process. Proverbs 18. Build on this a little bit. Proverbs 18. We'll start in verse 6. Proverbs 18, verse 6. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down, it says, into the inmost body. Well, the word talebearer here is actually the same Hebrew word, negron, that we talked about a little bit ago, for whisperer. It's the same word. These whisperings are, and as it says here in verse 8, it says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. The Hebrew word for actually that is lahem, and it means to gulp or to be swallowed up greedily like a dainty morsel, like something that is just utterly luscious and wonderful tasting. It says that it's that way to many who hear them. They take it in to the inmost body. They just want to hear it. Why? Why is it that happens? And I've sat and I've tried to think about that. And the only way that I can, the only conclusion I can come to is that it's because someone else knows something about somebody else. That's what it comes down to. I've got the goods on them. You know, if anyone listens, anybody stays and listens to these slanderous words that come about like that, or if you will, swallows or gulps them up, as it says, anybody who does, they become infected with it. They become infected with it. With the griefs or murmurings of another's thoughts and feelings towards someone else. And then it matters what you do with it. It matters what you do with it. Because their words and their feelings and everything else are now in your mind or another person's mind, if you don't want to put yourself into that equation. And then if you want to say the infected person then begins to think differently. That's what happens. They begin to think differently towards, and even, if you will, as I said, I've sat and I've thought about this, it's almost as if they feel like they're better than that person now. Whenever you start taking it in and you start internalizing it and thinking about it, they're better than that accused person. And then in turn, will actually continue the murmuring in their own mind. They'll think about it. And then from murmuring, a resentment actually against the accused can actually begin to settle in. It's amazing how it works. It's so Satan's slick. He's so sly. And then it spreads again. It begins in the mind, and it is carried over into the words when it's said again. Because what happens whenever you have something like that in your mind? Man, I got to tell somebody. Did you hear? It happens. It happens. James 5. Let's go back to James. There's one verse here. James 5. I know I'm having you flip back and forth, but sorry, that's just kind of the way it happens sometimes. James 5, verse 9. Says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Here, this word grumble actually means to groan within yourself. That's what that word means. To groan within ourselves. To, if you will, inwardly sigh and murmur against someone else. This is where it has to be stopped. This is where it has to be stopped. When you become, if you will, from something that somebody else has said, you become infected with what they say, and that's how I want to put it, because that's what it is. When you become infected with that, and you begin to grumble and to groan in yourselves, inwardly and to sigh and to murmur, if you will, against someone else, it has to be stopped there. Because if it isn't, sooner or later, it's going to end up being transmitted. It's going to be transmitted by whisperings to someone else. And then guess what it does? Affects and infects someone else. And on it goes. And before long, the accused person is guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. Whatever it is. They're guilty. And what have they been done? What has been done to them? They have been judged. They've been judged of doing something that may not even be true at all. All because someone, one person, secretly began whispering to someone else about their own grievance. Happens all the time. All the time. God doesn't like it. Actually, to be honest with you, He hates it. He absolutely hates it. I want to go back to Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy 27, this is before the children of Israel went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 27, and we're only going to read one small passage here, but then I want to go straight to Proverbs 6. Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 24. These are when the curses were pronounced, and they talked about, as a matter of fact, many times it says, cursed is the one who makes the blind wander off the road, and all the people say, amen. In other words, so be it. Verse 24, this one comes up. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. You know, when someone does this with words, and what this is almost speaking about, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, they're talking about, I mean, there's many different ways you can attack your neighbor secretly. But anybody who was to attack his neighbor secretly was out for one thing. What was that thing that he was out for, or she? Is to cause damage or to kill? When someone does this with words, it is done in the spirit of murder. You show no love for that person. Not at all. You show no love for that person whatsoever. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things, and we've heard this many times, the Lord hates. And yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And this word hands indicates a power or stroke. Stroke of what? You have the power of your words, the stroke of your words. They could shed innocent blood, if you will. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one, it says, who sows discord among the brethren. God hates all of these things. What do all of these have in common? Where do you think they started? Guarantee you, many of them started with words. Many. Psalm 101. We're just here in Proverbs. Let's go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101 and verse 5. Psalm 101, verse 5 says, "Whoever secretly slands his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early will I destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city," it says, "of the Lord." This shows us right here that gossip, slander, tale-bearing, murmuring, backbiting, if you want to name it, nor whisperers, will be allowed into the kingdom of God. They just won't. We will not inherit the kingdom of God if we are living our lives this way. God is serious about this. He really is. We must understand that all of this that we have discussed describe the sin of spreading secrets or assumptions. In other words, lies about others. In order to cause someone else to think like themselves, to undermine, to cause harm to someone else's character, or to make themselves look better. There's always an intention. Always an intention. The spreading of false information actually causes strife and trouble. It does. Or secretive information causes strife and trouble. And in the end, it will destroy. It will divide. It will destroy. How do you think Satan got a third of the angels to change their thinking? How do you think he did it? I would submit to you that he did it, in fact, by, if you will, corrupting their thoughts with gossip. I would imagine by whispering, backbiting, murmuring, slandering who? God and his plan and the different things that were going on. Their very creator. And in turn, causing doubt and division that would arise. And it did. It arose within. And it says they fell. You know, that's why God tells us that those who sow discord among the brethren are an abomination to him. They are. Because he knows where it leads. It leads to destruction. And it doesn't just take down one. It takes down many. It always does. It takes down many. It's truly sad. Our Father in heaven knows how division comes about. It begins with gossip. It begins with gossip. It begins with words. And if any of us have ever been through, if you will, a church split, how did it begin? It's always. It's how it begins. The injuries sustained from gossip are far-reaching. They're beyond what we can ever imagine. It goes from thoughts, it goes to attitudes, it goes to words, it goes to slander, it goes to hatred, it goes to division. For the angels who succumbed to Lucifer's own thinking, we're told blackness forever, whatever that looks like. Our words are powerful beyond what we really know. You know, you can't see your words, but you can see the effects of your words. You surely can. Those who are godly will never intentionally, and I want to underscore that, they will never intentionally harm anyone else by slander. Do we slip up? Do we say things we shouldn't? Absolutely. We're imperfect people. But those who are godly will never intentionally harm someone else by slander, by whisperings, backbiting, murmurings at all, which are gossip. They are gossip. You know, even if actions are, if you will, suspicious, a godly person will either go to that person or they will avoid thinking or speaking evil of them. They just will. Also, a godly person, a Christian, someone who walks as Jesus Christ walked or walks, will not even listen to gossip. That's very important. They will not even listen to gossip. As a matter of fact, a Christian is to shut gossip down. That's our responsibility. We're to shut it down if we hear it. If someone says something to you about someone else, you need to ask them. Well, have you talked to them about it? Have you went to your brother or sister about their grievance or concern? Have you done it? If they haven't, don't listen to them. Send them to their brother or sister. Because if you do listen to them, you're as guilty as they are. You are. You're as guilty as they are. We're told to go to our brother and sister if we have an issue. As a matter of fact, I want to go there. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. If we have an issue, because there's something that Jesus Christ pointed out here, and things are on the page for a reason. They're on the page for a reason. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and everybody else. No. It says between you and him alone. Nobody else. Between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, this is the only time you go to someone else. Take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if it refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if it refuses even to hear the church, let him to be to you, as it says, a heathen, or as they would look at that, a tax collector. Like I said, God is serious about this. He wants us to go to our brother and sister. Your grievances are not to be gossiped about. No, rather, we are to go and to work this out between, as they say, as it says, them and them alone. Them and you alone. No one else, unless, of course, they won't listen or they disregard your concern. Then you can get somebody else involved. But you never bring a reviling accusation against them, ever. You should only bring someone else in because you love your brother or sister and you want to work it out. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants us to be doing. Gossip, whispering, backbiting, and murmuring have no place in healing a grievance or a relationship issue. All it does is make it worse. That's all it does. It has no place, no place at all. We must remember that we have to think about this because we are as guilty as the one who may have hurt us. We're all sinners, aren't we? How many in here are perfect? None of us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. When we go about gossiping about the issue and we haven't gone to the one who has offended us, we become more guilty than the one that offended us. When we gossip about others or tell others about what someone else has done to us, we are actually, and we've already talked about this, judging our brother. And something that only God has the right to do. As I said, we're sinners just the same, and it is our responsibility to go to each other and work out our differences out. We are all to be working at becoming godly, better godly people. Our job as Christians is to deny any gossiper the opportunity to spread slander. It's our responsibility. We have to let them know that it is not acceptable. It isn't acceptable. We need to remind anyone who begins talking about someone in a negative way that God does not approve. Because he doesn't. We cannot, as James wrote in James 3, we're not going to turn there. We don't have time right now. James 3, 9 through 10. He says, with it, that would be our tongue. And what comes from our tongue? Our words. We bless our God and Father. And with it we curse men whom have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not to be. Our words must be consistent. You know, Satan wants gossip flowing freely between God's people. He wants it. He desperately wants it because it will begin to foster suspicion and doubt. And if not stopped, I'm hammering this out because it's true. It happens. It causes division and hurt. And unfortunately, words said in gossip, whether it be slander, whispering, backbiting, they're all the same, murmuring, can never be undone. They can't. Any words you speak, guess what? It's out there. And so much more. If you write it down and put it on social media, it's out there. It's always out there. I look at it, the way I explained it to the teens in the podcast, it's like toothpaste in a tube. Once you squeeze out the toothpaste, have you ever tried to put it back in the tube? It just doesn't happen. I've never been able to cram too much toothpaste back in a tube. It's out there, and it's damaging. Because those words, those wounds that happen from that may heal, but guess what's still there? The scars. The scars remain. We of all people cannot allow these types of destructive things into our lives and into the body of Christ. To kind of end, I found a little short story, and I want to share it with you. And it's actually a Jewish tale. The author's unknown, but it really drives the point home. It's called Feathers on the Wind. Anybody ever heard this before? Okay. Once there was a man whom the entire village knew to be a gossip. He could not wait to share the juiciest piece of gossip with whomever would listen. It did not matter to him if the stories he spread were true or not. He never stopped to ask. One day, after hearing the rabbi speak about the harm gossip causes, this man went to the rabbi and said, "Rabbi, I am truly sorry for all the pain I've caused with my loose lips. I repent and will gossip no more. Can I be forgiven?" "Yes, if you ask for it," replied the rabbi. "But I want you to do something. I want you to go home. I want you to find a feather pillow. Open the pillow and release the feathers on the wind. Then come back to me." The man thought that this was a strange request, but he did as he was told. When he came back, he says, "Now what?" And the rabbi said, "Now go. Gather all the feathers released by the pillow." He says, "But it's impossible. They have flown all over the place. I don't even know where most of them have traveled," said the man. Then the rabbi said, "So it is with your words. So it is with your words. You do not know where your gossip and rumors may have traveled. Once words have been uttered, they cannot be taken back. Because gossip is nobody's friend." It is nobody's friend. I'd like to end with Psalm 15, because Psalm 15 is actually a very powerful psalm. This speaks of those who will be in the kingdom of God. It speaks of those. It shows their attitude. It shows their mindset. Psalm 15. Psalm 15, and we're going to read the whole chapter, a whole five verses. Psalm 15, verse 1. It says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may abide in your presence? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" Who's going to be a part of your government? And he answers, "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Those whom God has called to keep themselves from gossip, spreading or listening, will be in the kingdom of God.